You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.
You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at WeAreLibertarians.com.
Boss Hog of Liberty podcast. This is episode number 224 of East Central's favorite podcast. Jeremiah Morrill here, joined by producer Zach Burcham, some guy named Jesse Riddle, who's got his own soundtrack to life and his background in his just he beat to his own drum, and my forever co-host Dakota Davis. No.
Today's episode features the four of us. We're going to be talking to you guys about all kinds of topics today, but mainly we're going to be talking about Mr. Tom Saunders is retiring from being involved in government of any kind.
Friend of the show.
Yeah.
Tom Saunders.
Three-time guest, Tom Saunders. And we also have a proposed new tax, which is a tax per mile driven that is in the new infrastructure bill. We're going to break that down and tell you what it means. And then Jeremiah is very upset because his favorite streaming service has just gotten cheaper, right?
Sure.
You're mad because you're saving money now or something like that?
I don't know. Noteworthy.
Stick around to the end to find out what that's all about.
This show is about our lives in rural Indiana. We're here to push your boundaries and make you think as individuals. I don't know how to talk without Jesse in the background. Sometimes it'll provoke you. Other times it'll make you laugh. But hopefully you'll always learn something new.
Ah!
Are you kids okay over
there?
I
just learned that we didn't talk about Dakota's flat tire. So
we skipped that.
We skipped that. It's okay. We had more fun with the bourbon conversation.
We might throw that into final thoughts if Dakota struggles.
I just put that in there as filler in case we needed it.
I need your pen to put my final thought down here.
I you can check this out. This is like a bank. I'm going to need it back.
Can you toss it over here? Thank you.
They've taken all the pins away from me.
Well, because they're broken.
Zach, we're going to interrupt this show to talk about your pens. Zach can tell his testimony.
Dakota Davis is a pen murderer.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime he's at that desk, he'll usually come back and there'll be a pen that's been dismembered and scattered about the table.
I'm a fidgety guy. I need things to do with my hands.
Luckily,
my hands have to be big.
He has that really nice pen over there. Probably still, and that pen is maintained in some working order, but the rest of them,
it's not over here.
It's anymore. A massacre.
It's over there.
He took it off the desk so he didn't hurt it. It was moved for its own safety. Oh, Dakota, we just did 25 minutes in Patreon summarizing not your flat tire. We did bourbon talk.
Yeah, we had a longer Patreon episode. If you sign up at patreon.com/BossHogOfLiberty, you get a bonus episode every week, and it's streamed into a Facebook group, and that's where you can watch it. It's live just like the regular show is. You also get show notes ahead of time, so you get links and everything that we use to put together the show notes and to read about. And then
as much as 120 or 130 minutes ahead of time.
That's right. You get all kinds of goodies, and we post memes in the Facebook group. Anthony Myers, our personal meme chef, and he posts memes in there all the time. Each Friday, whenever I know that Anthony is done listening to the episode, I'm always excited to see what he's made for the week. And you can, too, if you join at patreon.com/BossHogOfLiberty. We also have T-Chip stores, tchip.com/BHO1234 or BHO mug. Or
do you do that just to upset Jesse?
Yeah, that's why I looked at him whenever I said it.
I just don't care anymore.
We also have a link tree that Jesse set up to make that easier, and producer Zach Burcham is going to put that in the live stream chat.
Or we'll just read it out loud for Jesse. It's you have to clear the browser thing, and then you go to https://linkt.ree. And then you use a /.
Wait, it's
Boss Hog of Liberty.
You put the second period in the wrong spot.
Correct.
You have to start from the beginning.
Okay, start from the beginning. HTTPS. All right.
Or to make it easier, you can go to BossHogOfLiberty.com, and it's there.
Yeah,
BossHogOfLiberty.com. You're on the website. There's a picture of you on there with a bio. It's nude. A very nice website.
Completely nude.
That's not true.
Your hits are going to go up today.
Maybe. We don't make any money.
I want to do everything but swear.
I don't believe that for a second.
Oh, he's going to swear. There's 18 minutes left on the clock. And he's not going to make it.
Oh, man.
So Tom Saunders is retiring. Tom, if you don't know, if you're a new listener, Tom has been on, he was our state representative in the state of Indiana State House, and he was on episodes number 43 and 92 and 147. And I do think that episode number 43 is the best one if you want to know the most about Tom. I think that's where he gives the most personal details. All the other times we had on.
It was mostly legislative updates.
Yeah. To talk about things going on in the state house.
Yeah, so Tom was elected in 1996 to the General Assembly, and he has represented District 54 since that time. So it's been basically a generation. Dakota's entire life, Tom has been the state rep for this district.
I've never known anyone else.
Me neither. I was too young to care.
He's also been doing some sort of public service for the last 46 years.
Yep, he was a township trustee and I believe the county auditor before that, or in between those two. So since the 70s, so it's 40 years of public service at this point. So he made the big announcement at the Lincoln Day dinner on, I guess, over the weekend. They canceled Fourth Fridays, but the Lincoln Day still happened, so that was good.
Well, the Republicans didn't have anything to do with Fourth Friday.
The Jefferson Jackson dinner happened as well on the Democrats.
Oh yeah.
So okay. all the political dinners.
The Democrats probably had a piece of cloth over their nose though. Made it all.
Anyway,
safe.
This is not about that. Anyway, that event still happened over the weekend. I gave you this pen so you could have it and you just keep throwing it back. I went over, I made a special trip for you, Jesse. That's yours for note taking.
Thank you.
If you get an idea, you can jot it down all analog, or you can get your phone out and open up Evernote.
I wrote my notes down.
So Tom announced his retirement. Jean Lysing essentially said her goodbye to Henry County because, as we've been discussing on the redistricting side, Mike Gaskell and Jean Lysing are drawn out as our state senators. Jeff Ratz is likely going to be the new Henry County state senator, which is a big story we've been following that Jesse very much is opposed to.
I looked him up on Facebook the other day, and guess who was already friends with him?
Me.
Anyone who I ever look up on Facebook, Jeremiah is already friends with him.
You should quit looking up those people.
Jeff actually was the guy that, when it was an open seat, Rex Bell ran for that state senate at the same time. Hmm. And Jeff Ratz.
Not a great name.
It's an unfortunate.
He's eventually going to be on this show, so don't invite me.
Yeah. Because whenever we do invite him, we'll have to say, don't worry, Jesse won't be there.
That'd be a hard time to be like, that's just an unfortunate name.
The bully won't be there.
Is it R-A-T-Z? Like, he's super
R-A-A-T-Z.
Cool?
R-A-A-T-Z.
Yeah. Like, can keep going.
I'm telling my friend Rex, he kept using the meme All Rats from Snoopy or Charlie Brown or whatever.
I don't know.
Yeah. This is all stuff that goes way before.
Are we sure it's not pronounced like rates?
Probably, but I'm just using Rex's pronunciation. It's probably rates.
You're just throwing Rex right under the bus.
Oh, I love Rex. This is
rats would be a
he would sit here with me.
Rats.
So anyway,
rats.
We should give him a call. Get him on the horn, Jer. Zach, producer Zach, make that happen.
Zach has the Skype that I've been paying for that we haven't used for a year.
It's a great reason. Just put him on. You're live on the Boss Hog of Liberty, and we just want to know how to pronounce your name. I don't know why I've got like a smooth producer voice all of a sudden.
You sounded like Jeff Sessions.
I sounded like Jeff Ratz.
All right. So we said goodbye to two state senators. We welcomed a new state senator. And then there was another big announcement made that Bobby Plummer, Southern District County Commissioner, another Boss Hog alum, she announced that she would be seeking the now open seat in District 54. So it's going to be almost all of Henry County, except for Stony Creek Township and half of Liberty Township, most of Rush County, and then a little bit of Shelby and a little bit of Hancock. That's the new district. So in four different counties.
Well, our buddy Rob, excuse me. This is a conversation.
We have listeners all over the country. So let's our buddy Rob Kendall.
No, I don't want to use last names. Our buddy Rob, who lives almost in Henry County.
Rob Black. I know exactly who you're talking
about. Rob Black.
Rob Brown.
or brown. Either one.
Green Rob.
Yep.
Okay.
Will he be voting for the same person?
He'll be in the district.
Yeah, nice.
I do believe.
Great.
I do believe.
He could run.
I mean, it's just one more vote for us.
So, and then there's rumor of some other candidates. No. Since it's Rush County, I think it's very possible that you see a prominent Rush County Republican run, potentially. I've heard rumors of our friend Betsy Mills that might be out there possibly wanting to run. So you're going to have very possible that you'll have 4, 5, or 6 folks running for the GOP nomination.
When does this occur?
2022, next year.
So, we don't vote this year, right?
The state of Indiana has no elections.
Facebook's like, yo, have you voted? I'm like, I've registered to vote? And I'm like, no.
Facebook's logic isn't smart enough to know that that we don't need to worry about it here.
That's good. They don't know I live in Indiana. But
they probably do.
They've been asking me as well. when you take pictures of local breweries all the time, I think they figure you out, Jesse.
Yeah, probably. All right.
So we'll see. It'll be interesting. But the way that'll work is that the big Team Elephant deal, they'll all start filing in December and January, I guess January. And then in May, they'll vote and decide who who their folks are going to be. And the Democrats, if they field a candidate, it'll be something similar.
Do we?
There was an accidental misprint I heard at the Jefferson Jackson Day dinner. They reran an ad for Aaron Dickin from when he ran previously or had an exploratory committee.
Yep.
Like he was all over it. Old Aaron Dickin was ready to go, starting the rumor mill.
That's so funny. That's so funny.
On the same weekend that Tom Saunders announces that he's retiring, there's a Aaron Dickin for state rep. Aaron Dickin for state rep.
Aaron Dickin opened an exploratory committee and ran an ad for the dinner to try to get donations. Yep. And then he decided against it. You know, I'm not going to do it. And without asking him, someone who made the booklet was like, well, we have an empty ad slot. We'll just put that one in there from last time. And it was Aaron Dickin, and he is not interested at all this go around. But a lot of people think he is now.
Yeah. Did he get any money? The people are like, I'm going to give you some money. He's like, no.
I believe he returned all the money the first time that he had raised.
It's too bad. He could have bought a lot of sweet stuff, like an office or something.
He has a nice office. I've seen pictures of it. I've been invited there.
It's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Isaac.
Now, there is talk that, you know, this thing is drawn up in such a Republican-heavy area that the general election, it's going to be difficult for anybody to beat a Republican.
It is. The last time that a Libertarian ran was Zach Lee, and he pulled 26%.
Is that a two-way race?
Yes.
Yeah.
In the two-way.
But there's going to be a three-way race now.
Don't know.
Well,
we don't know who's running.
Probably.
If it was a Libertarian running, there would be a three-way race.
Correct. Correct.
Dang, he got himself some Hardee's delivered.
Man.
What is this?
Uber Eats delivered out here.
Is that what the hobo was doing out there?
Yep.
Yep.
Right.
So wait a minute. Back up. Zach's dinner got arrived. Jesse looked the guy right in the face, walked up and shut the door. And Zach has been trying to furiously get his food back throughout the.
Did you hear me say dang?
That was nearly an apology.
I went dang. Anyway, bye, Tom.
Actually, my wife delivered it.
Tax per miles driven.
So this is saying bye to Tom Saunders.
Okay. The whole section. We're done with it.
Yeah.
We're beating a dead horse at this point.
So because of, and this is what I could gather from like doing, I've read like two articles. So I'll say doing research, but I read two articles. One of them is linked in the Patreon. It's the one I thought was the best. And basically the use of electric vehicles is expected to just skyrocket over the next 10 to 20 years.
Through federal policy. Yes.
And Congress is trying to figure out a way to make up for the loss in fuel taxes that we currently pay. Right now, the federal tax rate on your gasoline is 18 cents per gallon. And I think it's, what is it, like 26 cents per gallon for diesel?
You pay federal taxes and you pay state taxes for gasoline.
Yeah, I'm talking about just federal.
Sure.
Just the federal side. I know it's 18 cents a gallon on the federal side. And now they're trying to figure out a way to replace that. Because a lot less people are going to be buying it. One of the ideas that's been floated before, and it's actually been floated before in the state of California in their legislature, but one of the ideas is that you would, whenever you go to file your taxes, you would tell the IRS, I drove 14,000 miles this year.
Yep,
this is my beginning odometer number. This is my ending odometer number. And then you would pay
the number that we've tax seen based upon how many miles you travel
is 8 cents per mile.
Sure.
That's the number that has been reported. Like I said, I didn't read that part of the bill that it's in. It's a 2600.
There's really not. So the truth is that there's really not a policy.
It's not written in the bill.
There's nothing.
That this is
there's a
happen.
Bunch of people with ideas.
What's written in the bill is that the DOT, the Department of Transportation, and the Internal Revenue Service can adapt pilot programs if they deem it necessary.
Oregon's already had one
to create this.
Oregon's had volunteers that have been.
What are you saying?
Oregon. Oregon.
It sounds like Oregon.
Oregon.
Like, Oregon.
Oregon.
Like your liver.
The state between Washington and California.
Okay. He's really been making fun of Southerners a lot.
Well, it's because he doesn't even need to. He has that style of voice to begin
with. I was on the speech and debate team in high school, and there was a girl that did she did this speech thing, and she had to play two characters. And one, she
this is
made
a really complicated issue. She we don't have time for speech and debate.
She
discussion.
Made the really stupid character in her skit,
the Southerner,
have a Southern accent,
of course.
And the judge had a Southern accent, and she wrote in all capital letters, "Southern does not mean stupid." And
good.
Wrote and judged her very poorly for that.
Good. Okay. The state of Oregon, made famous by the Oregon Trail. They've had a pilot program for a while. There are massive privacy concerns because everybody knows that you would lie on your taxes about, oh my gosh, I drove this many miles, right? That's the first thing that would happen.
Drove so six then miles this
year. It's like out of state sales tax.
Right. So the next step of that is, well, then we have to track your miles, right? So now it's going to be, well, we're going to put a GPS. We're going to put something in your car.
It's the
to
thing
track
they do
it.
With, it's the thing for the logs.
It's an incredible invasion of privacy, and it's been a problem. So when Indiana had their debate about raising gas taxes about 3 years ago, it was a poison pill. It was immediately shot down, and they said, no, we're going to go ahead and index gas taxes, and we're going to raise it, and then as gas prices go up or whatever, we're going to automatically increase the tax rate.
They could just do it like at the BMV. It seems like a simple problem.
So what I would say that they need to do is, if because you do have it's a user fee, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's probably
your vehicle.
It's the most fair way to assess the tax to pay for the roads is that as motorists, what we've done is we've had combustion engines is we've paid for fuel, and we pay that tax through. Well, a wheel tax is one thing, but the gas tax.
You're right. Sorry.
Yeah, a wheel tax is a flat tax.
I know,
but a wheel tax is similar to what you're talking about, and it's what Indiana's gotten into as electric cars have become more and more mainstream. There's discussion of, okay, here's what we would expect your car if you drove it 200,000 miles. Here's the revenue that we would expect to receive from you at the state level or the federal level. Based on you would have paid $700 in taxes for that car. Pick a number, whatever it is.
Right.
And they would say, okay, you're going to pay that one time up front when you buy the car at the dealership, or you pay that when you register the car the first time and you roll it into your cost.
I think they would do it every year when you re-up your registration.
Or you could pay it, if it was an EV, you could pay it as a, here's your EV fee.
Correct.
Because there's a carrot and a stick side of government policy right now. They're trying to encourage you to buy that electric car. They've not been sticking you with that fee, right? They're trying to move you away from the carbon fossil fuels and into the electric side. But at some point, you're going to have so many people that have switched over. You've got free riders, and now you have to pay it.
I see.
So
let's get rid of the tax, and let's change it into donation only.
Everything's a toll road.
That would be beautiful, but and a pain in the ass.
Everything's a toll road.
Is ass a swear word?
756. We need to
ruling from
Zach.
We're going to have to go to a referee for that.
Zach, you are the vehicle expert in the group. What?
He's also got a mouthful of beef.
No. the whole, well, to me, even mileage isn't necessarily the best measure. Like the 8 cents a mile thing is like frightening. I commute to Indy every day. So that would be like $30 a week because I I just filled up. I filled up last week. I drove 500 miles in a week.
That's about what I do.
In 7 days. So
actually, I drive more than that.
That'd be like 40 miles. That'd be $40 a week. And like I used to have a diesel Beetle that got great gas mileage. The 8 cents a mile would literally double the cost per mile to operate the car based on just gas.
You've lost your incentive at that point to have a fuel efficient vehicle to escape taxation.
Because
turn yourself up just a little bit, by the way.
Another thing that I don't want to inject completely, but I was another thing to think about also is like the weight of the vehicle is pretty catastrophic to the road.
That'd be another thing is like, just if you're going to do it, just up the gas tax, because that'll hit the heavier vehicles more, because you know trucks are going to be getting the worst gas mileage because they're bigger, they're heavier, they're using more gas. But yeah, it completely
electric cars are pretty dang heavy.
You're going to completely eliminate having combustion fuel vehicles, and you say we're going to increase the gas tax, you're creating a bigger problem. Cadillac's going to completely eliminate all combustion motors.
They've been handed money to all the EV people to buy the cars, so maybe cut back on that and stop trying to shove them into them. We don't have the infrastructure for electric cars right now. They can't flip it over to everybody, but you're not going to find a way to get everybody to report. Then you can't do it like on an annual basis, because in my case, I'm driving, you know, 25,000 miles a year. And so you're going to turn that in. And so that'll be what, like, that's a chunk of money.
I think that
at one time.
Well, I don't think that's what I'm saying. I don't think they'd have to do it at one time.
There'd have to be a way of reporting.
So you could pay it at one time, or you would pay it. They would set you up and pay it at a monthly fee.
I think you have a privacy issue. I don't think that would ever become
law. It's not a privacy issue. It's no different than that. Why is it a privacy issue?
You have a privacy issue because you're debating
for
shit
I don't believe anyway. But
you have a privacy issue for tracking the mileage.
No, I'm not talking about mileage. I'm just saying you just come up with something.
Flat fee.
You just come. Well, it doesn't even have to be a flat fee. It could just be like they could be like they already know where you work. They know what kind of car you drive. They're like, all right, this is we know you roughly these how many miles you go, and they would rate it at that. Now you could, and what I was thinking is that,
but that's only your business travel. That's not your pleasure travel. That's not your vacations. That's nothing.
I know, but they're not going to get everything, but you're going to get like what it's going to average out, right? Like not everyone drives that much. A lot of people, they drive to work, they come home and they stay home. They never leave. Those people are crazy. So the other people like myself, it's like, I will offset it. Like it's just going to be fine. But my point is that they could do a lot of like approximation about what it ought to be. It's just kind of like how they approximate everything else. It's not exact science. That's why like your property values are insane.
So because Facebook and social media is what it is, Twitter and Facebook have been full of screen grabs of Newsmax and Fox News, Fox Business. But you've gotten people all up in a tizzy, and they show a single infographic and say, this is what the Biden people want to do. And that's kind of rubbed me wrong this week, because the Biden folks have nothing
every
to do with
week,
it.
Every week, everything that this news, that's the problem, too.
I mean, but Biden is touting it as like disgusting. His infrastructure bill.
The thing that folks have been passing around this week.
You know? I said the F word is 8 o'clock.
The thing that people have been passing around this week is a state proposal in Pennsylvania, just like we talked about in Indiana when they raised the gas tax, and they're like, this is what Biden wants to do to you. No, that's what Pennsylvania wants to do. That's Harrisburg's problem. That's not Washington's problem.
Well, I saw something today from one of the bigger restaurant owners, and they're showing how much it costs to purchase clear cooking oil or whatever, and they're like, 6 months ago or 12 months ago, doesn't really matter, this was $12, and now then like 3 months ago it was $29. Now it's $44. Like this is, people are like, this voting really changes stuff. I'm like, this isn't, guys. There's just a complete supply problem. Like there is also inflation. Like don't get me wrong, but there's actually supply problems also.
There's huge breaks in the supply chain. Right now.
Like it's not just the inflation caused by like raising wages and stuff. There's massive problems in the entire chain of things going on.
We have such a convoluted issues, like a set of issues going on right now that people are trying to find one thing to point it at. And I saw somebody said the same thing, like, I went to buy these things that cost this much money, but the president's saying the economy's better. But I saw somebody else that shared an infographic and it was like all these container ships and they're sitting
in the docks
at ports.
Yeah.
But they can't get unloaded.
Can't get unloaded.
And so it's really hard to pinpoint. It's just a lot of things.
There's like 40, right, there's like 40 in the Los Angeles, like Bay or whatever, waiting to go into the port.
Just chilling.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Because they can't unload them.
Ships are so big that they can only go to certain ports. If you sent them to other ports that are not able to unload them, it would overwhelm them.
Well, yeah. I'm just saying, like,
Long Beach and Los Angeles can deal with it, but Oakland and Seattle cannot. They're right. Not big enough.
But there's like issues at the ports about, I don't know if it's labor or what, but there's problems at the ports about getting stuff over too. So, but yeah, it's like, I don't know. And people just don't, again, that's why I can't even stand like looking at online, because it's the binary arguments are just exhausting. Nothing actually pisses me off more. Like it's just like, there's no need for it. These systems aren't simple. They're not simple systems. They need to be simple.
The gas tax system has worked for a very long time.
You are a huge champion of the gas tax system. Look at our fucking roads, man. Like, it's not a good system.
It's not working.
It's the most fair example of a consumption tax. But now you're getting to the point where you have to figure out what your replacement is. I still think it's just saying, hey, if you have an EV vehicle, we're going to charge you $800 up front when you buy it. And then when you sell it,
do that, because like, what about inflation? Like, you can't just charge them one time.
Selling new cars every year. You charge the tax on the vehicle on the front end of whatever it's going to be, just like you do with a sales tax. You say, here's the lifespan that we anticipate for the vehicle. We expect it's going to do 200,000 miles. So we need to get $800 out of it, or $1,000, whatever. So they would
finance this.
Yeah. And you just throw it in. It's a cost of the purchase of the new vehicle.
So we're going to encourage people to take a 4 or 5% interest rate against their taxes. This just sounds great.
That's the best solution I got. And then it also says
recurring monthly fee or something.
Just
rip the Band-Aid off and be done with it.
Well,
and your used car, you don't have to pay taxes. If you can
afford it, then do it. But I'm just saying.
If you can afford a $40,000 car, you can afford the $800 for your taxes.
I know, but so what about used cars?
Taxes are paid. You paid it on the front end. The new car had it. You don't do it on the used one.
Gotcha.
You paid it when it was new. Done.
I don't know. I should figure out how much I pay in federal taxes, because I drive a lot.
Just throw it on the plates, because the plates, they can categorize vehicles by weight and plates. You throw it at. Yeah, because it's true. Like, electric vehicles, like a sedan that might weigh 4,000 pounds is a gas powered car. Like a Tesla weighs like 5,000 or 6,000 pounds because the batteries are heavy.
Yeah, and I was saying the weight is what's going to destroy the road faster.
You have so many free rider problems. What do you do with the folks that
are free riders?
The free rider is in the person that doesn't pay to where they're using it. So say you... You have dual residency.
These are people who take buses.
Say you have dual residency, or you're a snowbird. So you get your plates in Florida and you pay your fee in Florida, but now you've got reciprocity. So you can drive anywhere in the country you want to, and you're using those roads in New York, right? You live in Florida and New York. So you spent all summer driving in New York State using their roads. You paid nothing for it.
Yeah, but you got to do that on the thing that you're talking about too.
I'm saying if you're doing it with the current gas tax system, you're paying at the pump, so you've got maybe 20 gallons of fuel, so you're refueling all over the place. That averages out, and you actually have local municipalities getting their fuel taxes. It's not perfect. The other side of the electric vehicle concern that Zach started speaking about was the refueling and how we don't have the infrastructure for it.
That's why I don't have an EV.
If you're not leaving, if you're not going more than 200, 300, 400, 500 miles on a trip, then most people are probably going to just recharge at home if you have a garage or you have a driveway.
Yeah.
But the road trips are where you have real problems. If you're a cross country person, that's where you have a massive issue.
It's not a massive issue. It's just you have to plan your trip around going to the supercharge stations.
It's going to be a really rare occasion where you're driving 350 miles and there's not going to be somewhere to stop to charge.
Ronald Goff is an over the road truck driver as well, similar to Anthony Meyer. Ronald, I believe, hauls the mail from California back to the Oklahoma, Texas area. And he says, any thoughts on commercial vehicles? He drives 196,000 miles a year hauling the mail.
Yeah, your job's going to get automated. That's my feedback for you. It is. Your truck drivers are going to be the first people to get automated. Garen fucking Teed.
There's been a lot of people that have already been automated.
I know, but
So what do you mean?
Not truck first.
The truck drivers are going to be the simplest things for automated vehicles.
Ignoring the fact that that person gets automated, the roads are still being used. So you still have to capture the revenue.
They've already
the
done use. It. They've already, as far as transportation employees, they've already taken away some jobs from like delivery drivers. Like Domino's has a AI delivery vehicle in Arizona.
I am not convinced that heavy hauling is going to turn to electric anytime in the short term.
Our infrastructure can't handle that, for sure.
I still think you're going to go combustion.
How much would a semi weigh that's electric?
80,000. Well, I mean, right now it's 80,000 pounds is what they're designed to be. And, so you're going to lose a lot of payload.
And
it doesn't matter because they don't have to stop. Well, it's a train. It's a decentralized train. Think of it that way.
Mm-hmm. What are you talking about?
And that's what
I'm talking about. To the roads. Like, I guess if they don't. I mean, eventually you have to find a way to. I don't know how they're going to run on that much electric because. I think we are decades away from fully autonomous vehicles.
No way.
What are you talking about, they don't have to stop, Jesse?
I mean, they'll have to stop for fuel, but they don't have to stop for like to rest.
Well, I'm talking about they tear the roads up though. Cause if you ever get off at an exit when you at the stop sign for anywhere near a truck stop.
And that's also if commerce persists the way it does today. But
what Elon was saying the issue was.
Elon does not know what he's talking about when it comes to the future of autonomous driving.
So
he spouts a lot of BS and it's not supported by anything. And you can find that in the fact that how many people are dying Teslas.
More people that die driving regular combustion engines than what
actual drivers like. How long do you think we're close to the point where Tesla will take legal responsibility for you getting in an accident with their car, with their system driving? Because until you get to that point, we're not going to get autonomous cars.
I mean, Ford isn't. And
None of them are. We're not even close.
But I don't think your argument really holds up.
So the really problem, right, with commercial, the commercial driving is simple. It's a much simpler problem. They just drive straight. They drive in really nice, the nicest roads that we have in this country.
Some kind of like a dedicated
lane. The only time
lane.
They're going to have a problem is in the winter.
Ronnie says, take a ride with me through Los Angeles. Automated commercial trucks will never happen.
Yeah.
Because he's pulling out of Compton, right?
I know, but that's fine.
You have to be isolated from people.
I'm trying to say, that is not going to be the reality anymore. I don't think that's going to be the reality. I think we're going to go back to the train model. We're going to go to the train model where you stop the train, people load up smaller trucks, and then put the trucks back on the road again. I think the idea of semis going down Mass Ave and parking and blocking roads is over with. I think that's probably
there will be
15 years away.
There will be smaller vehicles that go to like a station where they have the autonomous trucks.
And it's probably going to be a gig economy.
And those will look like a rest area off the side of the interstate. And then those trucks will literally just.
It's exactly how DHL
right
does it now.
And then get right off.
That's how DHL works. DHL goes and they meet people and then they fill up independent driver trucks and then they go drive stuff. The same thing will happen. Guaranteed. Because it's a simple problem. In technology, we solve the easiest problems first. You have a straight damn road. If we don't have to stop drivers, because right now the problem is that drivers are forced to take breaks, right? They're the ones already getting their mileage logged and their e-logs. And because they've went to electronic because drivers are skipping scales and doing all kinds of like fraudulent shit and running too hard. And I'm not saying this is about Ronald. I'm just talking about truckers. And I just know like he doesn't drive for carnivals and shit. The carny drivers, they don't. These are the people I'm talking about.
Boy, you are targeting poor Jack.
I am talking about people I may or may not know and or may or may not be.
But at the same
time,
it's like you can't really blame those folks because that's how they make more money.
No, exactly. And that's why these trucker the owners and operators are going to eventually go into these things to run them because they don't have to stop. They have to stop to get fuel and recharge their batteries, but then they get right back on the roads and they go. And they eventually, I bet you do, once they can figure out wireless charging, they would just pull up and park them and then they would charge and then they would take off.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be really far down the line. They're still going to
charge. I think this whole conversation is an entire generation away.
I agree.
I don't.
I just listened to an interview with a gentleman who's.
I think you guys are underestimating the power that we have now. Like how this was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
We didn't have these 10 years ago.
You have to remove people.
He's holding up a cell phone.
Completely, though.
Yeah, sorry.
For the podcast audience.
The problem with the semi, I understand the semi on the interstate, that seems simple. But the minute it has to interact with a person, driving, then it's done because it can't. The person's not going to react and or do things.
That's what I was saying.
I think a lot of semis get wrecked because cars cut them off.
That's what I was saying about Elon earlier, and that's also what Jesse was saying about like the train model is dedicated lanes of traffic.
Yeah.
For the truckers,
and because the truckers. There are, you don't have truckers.
Like, there are portions of this country that have absolutely no interstate access.
Whatsoever. I know, but simple problems. Quit going to solving every problem. We're solving 80% of the problem. Right, you're going to have automated trucks, semis very soon. Like I'm going to say very soon. Like there are already orders in the books.
Sure, fictitious truck companies that exist that have done nothing, that built a fancy website.
But they
and
want
take
them.
Pre-orders.
But they
we're
want
not
them.
Talking about 30 years. Like
I guarantee it. I guarantee it because
there are damn near fraudulent companies out there that are promising what you're talking about. Have taken
I don't care if they're fraudulent
exist.
Or not. The demand is there. Someone's going to figure it out.
Yeah, I want my jetpack, man. The
you
demand
can buy
is
them.
There.
You can buy a damn jetpack. You don't have the fucking money to do it. You want to fix your fucking floor, man? Buy a jetpack. Like there are people who want it. And
jetpacks exist.
The other thing, right, is. And Zach, you drive on 70, you fucking get behind these semis, man, where they fucking drag race, quote unquote. And you were just bitching about this like a week ago, two ago.
Yeah. They drive me nuts.
Yes. That's who kills people on the fucking interstate. It's because you create road rage. And so if the semis can just, there's no emotion. The semis aren't trying to get anywhere anytime soon. They're just like, look, there's nothing there. It's an emotionless being just like,
just doing what it's programmed to do.
And it doesn't give a shit. There's no emotion, and it doesn't need to get behind the other guy and be like, I'm going to beat him for 10 miles and pass him. Like, they don't care. There's zero emotion. There's a lot of incentive to make the commercial deliveries.
If you want to solve the problem,
especially to like
three lane interstates every direction instead of two, and trucks with trailers can only use the right hand two lanes.
Yeah, that's what we were just saying with the train model.
But you're never going to get that. That requires a lot of enforcement. It's a lot easier to program a thing that doesn't have any emotion to just be like, my job is to not wreck and to stay in this fucking lane. That's it. And our car, our self-driving does that. It doesn't do it in the winter because of the way it works, which needs
because
to be solved.
The marking on the roads.
Yeah.
Teslas are also hitting emergency vehicles a lot too.
Batteries also don't work very well in the cold.
I know, you say a lot, but there's been like six times.
And you're also
how many Teslas are there on the road?
Thousands,
hundreds of thousands.
But I mean, there's still that's the few people that paid the like $5,000 to $10,000 for what he calls full self-driving. But it actually says if you read the fine print, it's not self-driving.
Right. It is.
He's selling like snake oil, and people are dying. As a result, I think that people underestimate how many decisions the human brain makes while driving. And until you take all the people out, like there has to be a switch that flips one day that you remove all people from the roads and only automated vehicles are driving. At that point, I think you could get there because they could communicate in theory.
Although, well, they would. There'd be mesh networks.
But. That's not going to happen. We can't get like, there are still people driving carbureted cars around and not because they want to, because that's what they can afford and what they can drive. We're not even in full fuel injection. Fuel injection came out in like this
87. 50s.
Yeah. And so we are, unless the government takes over all transportation, we are at least 30 to 40 years away from actual full self-driving cars where you get in, there's no steering wheel, and you arrive at work and you didn't have to pay attention to anything.
I completely disagree. I completely disagree. Like the technology that Tesla's working with now is only like 5 years old. I mean, and it's built on AI, which gets like, that's the thing, the critical piece people are missing. The AI can run simulations so much faster than we can and work so much faster than we can. Like the argument I'm having
dozens of test vehicles out there driving that have no one behind the wheel on a daily basis.
I'm more concerned about the battery life of moving heavy freight.
Like oversized loads and things, those won't be replaced anytime soon.
Yeah. I'm not trying to replace all of it. I'm just saying like, straight drive trucks are those days are over. like, I don't want to say they're over, but there's a sunset. Like, and I can see it coming. I'm in this field. I do but automation. I listen to automation people.
I think that there's going to be a lot of jobs created from the new model because we are still going to need people.
We still need truck drivers. I'm just saying, like, the straight line drivers are it's actually going to be arguably better because you don't have people having to drive across country anymore. They can go home and be home with their people every day.
We're going to need people who can drive at less damaging vehicles to infrastructure through cities, because I think that that's where it's headed. And like we were talking about with the rest stop train station model.
Yeah.
Those folks are going to need to exist. And once cities know that that exists, we're going to have smaller vehicles that are bringing the freight to those stations. And that's going to create more jobs for those truckers to.
Well, the good news in all of this is that the government's not reaching any sort of an agreement, and they're going to shut down on tomorrow, I think, unless they raise the debt ceiling. So no government. Joe Tompkins wins as he's
that's a perfect
complaining. I mean,
they close down every year.
it's an annual tradition.
And I'm just like, and words are like, I don't care. I also don't care about the government. And I'm not wishing ill words on those people's lives.
Nancy Pelosi says, don't shut down the Obama administration.
Zach, what happens when they shut down the government to a standard federal worker?
I don't know, because I'm luckily outside that realm. We don't get shut down.
I mean, they generally expect people to still keep coming to work, or if you're essential.
It depends on the agency by agency and job by job. Some of them get furloughed, and then usually
they get their back pay.
They get their back pay when they come back to work. And then some of them, like, I forget how my agency works. I think it's like there's periodic transfers of money between the federal and the state government, because I'm technically a state employee. But we've been told every other time there's been a government shutdown that we're unaffected. We're somehow considered essential.
Because it's, yeah, I don't know if you've ever released what you do, so I'm not going to say it. But
stay tuned.
Yeah, whatever. The government's going to shut down. I don't care. It doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect me at all.
So I was watching the IndyCar race on NBCSN, a channel that's about ready to go extinct, by the way. NBC is getting out of the sports.
Was this the E-Race?
Specific channel. The IndyCar race.
Was it the E-IndyCar or whatever? Is it E-Cart?
No, it was not the...
electric IndyCars?
It was not the Formula E. This was the IndyCar, the twin-turbo V8 Hondas and Chevys at Long Beach, California. So our guy Alex Palou won the race, and as I'm watching the sign off, the end of it, they show us that two giant companies are arguing, and we're just going to shut your TV off. Google, which owns YouTube TV, and Comcast, which is Xfinity, which I think there's a special delivery happening right now.
Ruh-roh.
Come on up, Sarah. Come on up. Bring it. Just drop it on the table here.
Are you going to walk in front of the
camera? Drop it on the table. This is all a part of, this is from the Patreon. There's a there's a big moment here for our boy Dakota. Bottle of Eagle Rare has just arrived, which is
the Eagle has landed.
The Eagle has landed. It's a very patriotic bottle of bourbon whiskey.
It will join the empty one that's sitting on my bar.
Oh, look, she did decide to join with us.
Sarah's here. You're not going to be on camera, but you can your mic's
your
turned
mic's
off right
not
now,
on
too.
Either. You're also.
She's talking to Zach like I do.
Did you give me another gift?
Yeah.
I turned the mic on.
Can you hear me at all?
Yeah, turn that mic to where you're not having to twist yourself up. Whatever makes you comfortable.
I'm uncomfortable all the time.
Oh, well, you're married to me.
Jared's like, come on, get closer to me, baby. That's kind of what he was saying. It's kind of
now, funny story. This. We did find Eagle Rare here in Newcastle after we got back.
We talked about it.
Okay, cool. Never mind.
On the Patreon.
Well. If you don't subscribe to the Patreon, make sure you go do that so you can
spoiler
find out
alert
what I was doing or what we were talking about.
You can usually find it at Jungle Gyms, too.
Never tried.
They used to be able to get this in Knightstown.
Do you want to talk about your probably gripes real lately. Quick? Was Kroger upsetting?
Yes, Kroger was very upsetting.
You can get Blanton's in.
Did the truck drivers not deliver the food on time?
Okay, so
was stuff stuck
first
in
of
port?
All,
what's wrong?
Part one, Aldi has no freezer stuff at all right now.
Yeah.
Their freezers are being fixed. The problem.
In this town, yeah.
In this town. I wasn't going to Muncie to go shopping tonight. So then I go to Kroger, and I'm like, oh, I need a card for a wedding. They have two cards for weddings. And one of them's like, live, laugh, love.
Perfect.
Perfect. That's a done. Sold.
We did not buy it.
They just want to know what gift you're getting.
Got to hit up the DG cash, of course, always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tax free.
Exactly.
Something like that. Oh. Do they need any stocks?
Got to do that one more time so people aren't talking.
I heard it.
Okay, good.
Nicely done.
Now this is an ASMR podcast.
Yeah.
Oh. Do I get a taste as well, Dakota?
Yeah, you can have it out of this glass.
Out of the four roses. That's plenty. That's plenty. All right. Got my Eagle Rare.
Eagle Rare.
Woo! Strong.
Yeah, put some water in it. Open it up.
I do need a little water.
But you're drinking in a four roses glass, and that's a lot.
When I got this glass, Sarah just brought this as well. I got this four roses glass, nice they said if I put anything other than four roses in it, it will probably break.
Yep, I've heard that.
Well, we're testing the theory tonight.
You have an interesting glass. Do you want to describe this for the audience?
It's a bong without a...
Let's say it looks like a bong or some sort of like sex device.
It's called a neat glass.
Mm.
Neat.
N-E-A-T. It looks like it's a pain in the ass to drink out of.
It's handmade.
Joe Tompkins is reporting that they passed the Band-Aid, so the government will not be shutting down tomorrow.
And hey, he's ex-employed.
That's so nice.
They broke their promise to shut the government down.
I'm so upset.
It's got this little bulbous section at the top so that the aromatics get stuck in that little chamber, and there's more for your nose to absorb whenever you take a sip.
No, I got you. That makes sense now.
Yeah, yeah. That's why it's shaped that way. It's from the folks at Pretentious Glass Company in Knoxville, Tennessee. I have a bunch of their glasses. I really like their stuff. I like it so much that I went and visited them.
You do have quite the collection of different glassware for beer and whiskey.
At your house? Or him?
He does.
Yeah. I do.
I have gotten rid of all my special glassware.
Ours is all Goodwill, usually branded.
Yes, yours are all
Goodwill. You got it for 99 cents.
I like to find the distillery style glasses at Goodwill.
I don't.
I also have the...
I've taken all mine there.
Whatever.
You have a bunch of Jesse's glasses.
And then Jeremiah bought them.
No, honestly, I would go with Jesse to buy
so
them.
So good. And that's good.
Nice and bitter.
I remember taking a shirt to Goodwill one time. It was a metal band shirt. I forget which one. And then I went to my friend's house. He's like, dude, check out this freaking shirt I got at Goodwill. I was like, that was my shirt, you idiot. That's the funniest thing ever. That just hit me. It just reminded me of that.
All right. So anyway, back to the YouTube story. We were watching the IndyCar race. Our guy Alex Palou won the IndyCar championship, and across the top bar is a scroll saying, this channel's going to go away, which is the whole reason we went away from terrestrial TV, because every time he turned around, there was a giant fight. Thank you, Sarah. We love you.
Thank you, Sarah.
So I'm just deciding if I love her.
Thanks, Jesse. Ron Goff wants to know where Eagle Rare is. It's a Buffalo Trace. That is one of their premium brands. Talked exclusive, very much in the Patreon. We discussed
this. Does he want to know where it is in Newcastle?
No, Ronnie's somewhere between Oklahoma and California right now. So I don't think Newcastle will matter as much, but he just wants to know where Eagle Rare comes from.
If he joined the Patreon.
Yeah. It's a whole discussion there, about a half an hour on the bourbon trip from this weekend. But I will say that it's very difficult to find. Very, very difficult to find. It's
what they might call, I don't know, rare.
Exclusive.
There's an $1,100 bottle of Eagle Rare that exists.
This is the 10-year. This is not the 17-year. This isn't even the hardest. This is the easiest of the rare to find.
I think I've had a 17 Eagle Rare once.
So anyway.
Rare.
Comcast and Google are fighting each other. They're going to take away all of the NBC Universal channels. The interesting thing here is that if they don't get their agreement today, they're going to drop the bill for all of the YouTube TV customers. They're going to say, you know what?
Google is?
Yep. They're going to say, hey, you know what? Unfortunately, mine just billed like today, so I already paid the full fee.
You should cancel. Get your refund and then re-up.
They said, we'll drop it $10 a month while the fight's going on. We'll take care of you. And you should just go sign up for Peacock, and it's got all the same stuff. And it's $6 a month. So, yeah, you lose your DVR functionality and some other stuff that goes with it, but... They're trying to make it fair to you.
Wow. Google, the evil company, doing the right thing.
Yeah. It's just funny that it's basically, you know, I know he does. Nope. Xfinity is fighting. it's fighting another cable carrier.
Yeah, don't be evil.
I did find their email like refreshing because it said, hey, we're trying to do this. And they always are like, we're trying to get what's fair. But then like, but we're going to reduce the bill while it's going on. Oh, by the way, you can sign up for their streaming service, which is, I was like, well, that's nice of them to mention it, because, and even said, oh, it's this much a month. I don't remember cable companies. You can lose your cable for like 7 days and or your satellite, and they won't even adjust your bill. They're just like, I'm sorry, that's just what happens with life.
Yeah, that's
like,
business.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, at least UTV is like, they're taking off probably what part of your bill is NBC, and they're like, yeah, we'll give you a discount. By the way, you can sign up for this and not miss anything while it's off. And I was like, I mean, they're literally like describing how to just like. You sign up for all of them. You probably don't even need us anymore. I was just like, well, I mean, that was nice of them.
I mean, they're an aggregator, right? A part of it is that they're an aggregator and that you can share it across multiple people. Dakota's in my YouTube TV family. He's going to be affected by this horrible outage if it happens. But they also have a...
forgot you guys live together.
Yeah, he's in my family. We're brothers. We share our Eagle Rare together. But it's also the DVR side too, right? Peacock is notoriously terrible for any sort of pausing or going back and picking stuff up. It's not, it is probably of all the streaming services, Peacock is the worst at the user interface.
Perhaps this is the play. Perhaps Google's like, go enjoy their terrible, shitty service.
Maybe that's
and
it.
And then we can say, look, we're going to have to bring you back, but it's actually going to be about $12 instead of 10.
Every time these people renegotiate, your bill goes up, right?
Yeah.
Every time it happens. And at some point, they have to put the foot on the ground and say, you know what? We're going to stop offering all these channels. And there's different streaming services. There's Sling that gives you half the stuff you want for one price, the other half for the other. YouTube TV has kind of got everybody, but they've added up. They used to be a much more streamlined service, and now they pretty much fully replaced cable, but it's like, I don't know, was it $60 a month, Zach?
65. But yeah, when we signed up, it was
like 29 when I signed up.
It was like 35 when I signed up.
Yeah.
Hulu is like that as well, with like the live TV options and all the channels and even local TV, you know, same way as YouTube TV. And yeah, they increased that, I think, for Hulu with live television and then no ads is like $65 a month.
Yeah, they're all at similar price points now.
Audrey signed us up for Discovery Plus because they had like some promotion where you got so many months for free. And God, whoever designed their smart TV apps and their Xbox applications, like, should just be fired and never program anything ever again.
That's pretty much the way I feel about Peacock.
Well, the user interface designers are not the people who program usually, so.
They have to work hand in hand with each other.
No. I mean, your car is not designed by people who are both mechanics and engineers. So, like,
no. Somebody says, we want it to look like this. And the guy goes, looks like shit. There you go.
Did it.
The way it works, and like, I like to have subtitles on whenever I watch some TV shows, especially because like Jackson's room is right from ours. So, like, at nighttime watching TV shows. Can't have it too loud because he's sleeping or something.
You need a Roku TV.
So, like, we have a Roku TV in the living room, which is great.
Because you can use your phone as a remote, and then you can plug headphones into the phone and turn on the sound through the phone.
Yeah.
And
that's like, pretty sick.
Yeah, that's one of those little things. I'm like, I don't know who thought of this, but they need a bonus for what
I can do that with the Xbox, which is what we do now. I just plug the headphones into the Xbox controller so that it works that way. But I don't know. There's something like some TV shows I've also discovered with subtitles on, you don't miss as much. Like sometimes you'll miss something that somebody says.
The first time I watched Hamilton, I did it with subtitles on. Just the
first time I watched Hamilton, I quit halfway through and said, this is too much.
But anyway,
it looks terrible.
The subtitles that Discovery Plus has is like in black blocks in the middle of the screen. It's literally in the middle of the screen. And then sometimes you'll click on a TV show and you'll click English subtitles and it'll come and they'll be in Spanish and there's no way to change it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
My favorite's when you have streaming problems, like a sports thing, and the subtitles are over the scroll bar for the scores. You can't tell who's got the ball. You can't tell what the score is. You can't tell anything. I'm like, you guys engineered this. Like, somebody is looking at this and deciding that this is okay, that you're literally covering up all of your own information. Or like, they'll do a weather thing and they'll block their own infographics. And
two
like
different departments that never talk to each other.
Yeah, I'm like, the top of the screen's wide open. There's nothing going on up there. There's plenty of real
estate. My guess though is that closed caption TV is a lot of red tape.
I bet it is from
accessibility.
And two people have announced their departure because of my Hamilton joke already.
Great.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Go spend more money on a terrible movie.
Shouldn't Gull be shopping for a wheel and a tire?
They both have similar last names. Oh, wait. This is golf. Man, my eyes are bad.
Never
mind. Are you struggling, Jesse? Because I was going to pick the baton up, but if you've got a story to finish, I'll let you do it.
It's something about closed caption, but I forget what I was going with.
You were saying that there's a lot of red tape with it. And one thing I've noticed with Netflix is that they automatically, the default mode on Netflix is to have closed captions on. And at least it is on my Roku TV.
That's probably because you've got something set up globally on the Roku.
So,
well, none of the other apps do that.
There was a controversy last weekend.
They may not inherit from that.
But anyway, I always thought, Netflix has sponsored closed captions. It will say at the beginning, closed captions provided by a company.
Oh, okay.
That's common. That's been around a long time.
I think they should just be AI.
Well, they are for Facebook. So
they are for YouTube too, or Google.
Yeah, and sometimes they suck.
Sometimes. This closed captioning sucks sometimes.
And yet you trust these trucks to drive themselves. There was a major controversy over the weekend with the NFL Red Zone channel, which people pay premium to the to their cable provider, mm-hmm. so that the NFL resells it. Basically, it's commercial free. They whip you. You watch all the games at once. You have a producer that says, "Here's the interesting game right now," and they played with their graphics for the 4 o'clock window on Fox, so that if you had, they always run a little bottom bar across the screen that says you're watching the Red Zone. And somehow Fox changed where their graphic location was so that if you watched the Red Zone channel instead of the actual Fox broadcast where you get commercials, it was then covering up the score and the quarter and the amount of time left in the game. Massive, massive controversy of they're screwing them on purpose. They didn't want you to watch the thing that you paid extra money to see.
They messed up my sports ball.
You can't see what's going on. More now, Zach, accent. That would be like having them cover up the lap count in a race.
Yeah.
It would be annoying as hell.
And here's the problem is that there's some guy whose job he's sitting in a room somewhere and he's watching that to make sure there's nothing going wrong. And like, what's he doing that he just misses that? And it's probably a guy who doesn't care about football and doesn't even know that he cares about, he doesn't care about the scores or anything. He just doesn't notice that. Cause if it doesn't get fixed in a few minutes, you're like, who's asleep at the wheel here? Like, is somebody in the bathroom? Did they have to go get food? Like, what's going on?
They'd be stroking out.
All right.
Yeah, and we're making fun of them. Good job, guys.
I mean, they need it right into the record.
I didn't know people actually looked at the scores and stuff that much.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like, if I'm watching
the score and the amount of time left in the game is situational awareness.
And then Red Zone is a channel that literally just randomly bounces from game to game to game, depending on who is in the Red Zone, which is the 20 yards before this.
If somebody has a scoring opportunity.
So, yeah, you're jumping into games right before a potential scoring opportunity.
That seems like pretty easy to figure out, though, if they're in the Red Zone. It's the people that are going to go towards the goal. That's pretty easy.
Yeah, but it tells you where they're at in the game. Yeah. Are there 3 minutes left? Are there 10 seconds left? Are there 13 minutes left?
So if you have the Red Zone channel on, it just goes to whatever games there are potentially about to score on. So you need to know what the score is and where in the game it is because you're lost. You weren't watching this game. And then when they score, it'll go to a different game. Potentially. So yeah.
Do people pay for this?
Yeah, you pay an extra. It's you pay stupid. Extra fee.
You don't even care about these teams.
It's your fantasy football.
It's fantasy. Yeah, all this is.
Oh, I got this guy. He's going to score. Let's see if Maurice Jones
does. Some people do fantasy football and then want to watch it.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
It's the whole thing. Or they have money on it.
Why wouldn't you just?
They're betting. Like
I know.
You bet on the game fine. And you say, hey, man, I need that Tyreek Hill touchdown. Like right now, we got on the screen as we're playing.
That's like Thursday some people night. Who like have to watch. I'll go into the like. Just be putting money in my machine and just pulling. Me watching it doesn't change what happens.
It does if you're cashing out a bet or if you're placing an additional bet. If you're betting in real time, you care. With these betting apps, you care.
I know they're like, look, he's going to lose his shoe and he's going to grab up a blue sock and he's going to score a touchdown. And you're like,
you can live bet and say, okay, on this drive, it's going to be a field goal. And you're like, oh shit. Well, they punted.
Yeah.
I'm going to do another one. So you need to know real time.
I get that. That makes way more sense.
There's a lot of real time importance.
It'll take exactly 64 steps to reach the end zone.
I'm going to start doing this. I'm not.
No, you're not.
Yeah. do you want a promotion code?
What is the most ridiculous bet you can make in football?
Oh, it goes on forever, man. You could
the Super Bowl's got
like, you could have like a 10, like
is it roulette? Like is it like where you're gonna be like, look, it's gonna be 13 red or whatever.
Yeah, it's going to be hey, the Colts, you could say, hey, the Colts are going to lose by 17, but this guy's going to score a touchdown and this other guy is going to throw for over 42 yards and this other guy is going to throw for under that many yards and this third guy is going to score one touchdown and then this other fellow is going to have he's going to miss a kick.
That sounds like a really bad bet.
Yeah. Oh, it's terrible. But you wanted the most ridiculous terrible thing.
Yeah, I didn't know you could compound like the
It's called a parlay.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's why I was making fun of it because like, yeah, he's going to lose a shoe and that guy's going to lose a face mask.
Yeah.
Fighting is the same way you can do ridiculous parlays.
Can you parlay in hockey to be like, these two guys are going to fight?
I don't know if you can do a fight, but you can normally do some sort of a scoring metric.
Yeah.
Assists.
I've also learned you can gamble in Rocket League. I've recently learned, so I'm going to probably start betting on myself.
All right. We need to start wrapping things up here.
Yeah, I just yawned.
Yeah, Dakota's up 3 hours past his bedtime, and he hasn't looked at any shirtless dudes on Instagram in a while. So this is starting to bother him. I can see the twitch. Zach, you got any final thoughts?
Broad Street Cruises this weekend.
It's real? Is it Mopar night? What are they doing?
I know they're redoing the kids' cruise in, because that was supposed to happen when we got a nasty thunderstorm.
They let the kids drive?
They have like a little bunch of power wheels down there for them to have.
And no, I'm good. Thank you.
And then other than that, L&K is having their big, it's turning into like a big fall festival thing going on over the weekend. And I think Cade's out doing the harvest. And
I think that the big fall festival you're talking about is Whitetail.
Well,
or do they both?
L&K just does. They have a spectacular every Saturday.
Yeah.
They have all kinds of people. So, I mean, assuming that that's going on still, I don't know. It's whatever. It's like their little version of the farmer's market. They usually have some food vendors and stuff out there. And so that, and just a heads up, if you're driving around county roads, don't drive farther than you can see, because there are tractors and semis and combines everywhere.
They're just trying to feed you guys.
Yeah. So just, yeah, be careful around.
Use some patience
and avoid, Ninestown and Greenfield at all costs on 40.
State Road 9 is reopening tomorrow.
That isn't the problem
in the Greenfield.
No, we're talking about 70. 70 is a real problem.
A massive problem. Also, I almost hit Cade's neighbor's dogs today. So if you're on Cade's road, watch out for those damn things.
Is that my brother's dogs?
Nope. I don't know whose dogs they are. It's like the neighbor like to the north. Or sorry.
That's okay. Northeast. We don't have to get into the weeds. Zach?
We don't need to dox Cade and
thank Danny. You. Thank you very much. Here. Jesse, you've got a special segment. You have some life tips for us.
This is life tip.
This is his final thoughts / life tips.
So this is how much of a loser Jer is. Jer has his mail scanned.
Informed delivery.
He signed up for it, so he gets an email of all
every
letters
morning.
He's getting.
It tells me
who,
what,
the her.
It tells me what to expect. Because sometimes, Jesse, I get mailbox money.
Yeah, but who's like, look, can't wait to see the email from the USPS today about the mail I'm getting.
It says, oh, look, there's a check from grandma for $13. I'm going to deposit that.
You know, yeah, whatever. That is mind-blowing. He showed me this thing. And he's like, hey, man, you get informed delivery? I'm like, what the hell is that? He's like, they scan your mail and they send it to you.
I thought Jesse would be all about it. He's like, this is the greatest thing ever. They finally automated the mail. I don't have to care.
It's not automated. It doesn't cash the check for you or anything.
You can see if you need to go look.
Can you open it up and show these guys what this looks like?
Zach probably has it.
No, I don't. Most days mine would be Anthem. And they're like, this is not a bill. This is a statement of your benefits. And I'm like, you guys kill a tree a week. But my favorite thing is that Jeremiah's paying the government to read his mail.
I know. Well, it's just the front
included.
Of the envelope.
It's free.
It's at the sorting facility. They have it, and it's just like cameras are taking photos of it. And my guests are using OCR to like figure out whose it is, and like which is optical character recognition for the people who don't know.
So they send you an email every day. It says, here's what's coming.
Me screenshots of it before.
Show this to Zach. This is ridiculous.
It's hilarious.
I know he has it done. Yeah.
So
yeah, mine would just be.
I can definitely see it happening, and this is probably before. I don't know that, Jeremiah, would you sign up for it today if you found out about it?
I'd sign up. I wouldn't pay for it, but it's a free service. It tells me in the morning if I know, hey, look, the Elks calendar's coming. So I know I to look in the mail and grab the Elks calendar so that I know what the specials are on Friday night.
You weren't going
to
grab the mail anyway?
Yeah, I know. That's the whole point. Like,
it tells you, it gives you information. If you're waiting on a check, you're waiting on a credit card to come in the mail, you know that it's a priority, that you need to go get it. It doesn't have to sit out there for a day or two.
I just get it every day. I know. That's what I don't get it. It's like I pick up
Are
my
you
mail
a
every
slave
day.
To the mailbox, Jesse?
It's right
if you're
next
a
to my
PO
door.
Box customer. Say you live in Spiceland, Indiana.
Yeah,
and you're a PO
would
box
make
customer.
A little bit more sense, but it doesn't tell you when it gets delivered. It
tells you when it what's coming in the mail today. So you know if your mail comes at 2 or 3 o'clock, then that night you want to go get your mail.
That's if the guy doesn't get COVID who's sorting your mail at the local office.
How often does that happen?
A lot. Just making up shit. So anyway, my argument to Jeremiah is like, dude, I'm trying to reduce how much mail comes to my house.
Yes.
Because I live with in an old apartment. So I get like the 2 or 3 previous renters mail plus my mail. And I was like, when you're rich and wealthy like myself, you get credit card offers way too damn often.
When you have enough money to street park a Lincoln.
So I was like, look, I've tried to maximize signing up for like paperless billing from all the things that I can sign up for and to opt out. So there's an opt out service that you can opt into. I think there's a government one too, but this is strictly for the credit card stuff. but there's like a no spam thing that you could go to for the government if you want to. It's kind of like the no call list type thing. But anyway, if you go to optoutprescreen.com,
there's a lot of URLs on this episode tonight. Yep,
you can optoutprescreen.com or call 1-888-5-OPT-OUT. That is 1-888-567-8688.
Do I have to dial the one, Grandpa?
You do. And, you know, you can go in there and you can opt out for 5 years or you can opt out for a lifetime. I opted out for 5 years, but
what was that number one more time?
That number again, Jer, is 1-888-567-8688. Again, that's 1-888-5-OPT-OUT.
Consumer Credit Reporting Industry opt-in and opt-out number. Para continuar en español.
I don't want to talk to this.
Hasta luego.
It says WECO Community Credit Union when I tried to call.
Someone just knocked on our door.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to know.
Probably a neighbor.
Impossible to know.
Probably is.
All right, Jesse. Thanks for that life tip. That was awesome.
Yeah, and you know,
so
I get
one piece
of mail
worked.
A week.
Yeah, it's actually
I maybe get 1 or 2 pieces of mail a week.
Do you think they're just stealing your identity now?
No.
Okay.
But I also don't get my mail scanned because I don't like get all giddy when my mail's coming.
Well,
I only imagine
you spend some more time watching Blue's Clues.
I think when he tells me this story, I think of like Homer Simpson, and he goes, ooh. Like, that's the thing that goes in my mind when he opens it up. It's like, ooh, the Elks calendar. Ah.
I mean, that's a big day.
Is it?
It's a newsletter.
It's nice.
It tells you what's going on the next month. Ooh.
I haven't been to the Elks in like 6 weeks.
Yeah, must be.
And I still put up the new calendar on my refrigerator.
Oh, it's stew night on Wednesday.
You guys are older than hell.
Dakota, what do you know?
Have you spent much time at the Elks?
I've went. Was not impressed. Mm. Unfortunately.
Well, you're an asshole. So
you're an asshole. Or you are our asshole, though. So salute.
The most impressive thing there is get somebody to come from Indy and then take them there and have them drink and then have them get their bill.
And they say, well, where's the other $40 of my bill at?
Like, where's the rest of the bill? Because it's just an affordable place to have a meal and a drink.
Two people can eat a 3-course meal, salad bar, multiple drinks. Ticket comes and it's like, yeah, that was $31.
Yep.
Perfect.
But it's not the best food in the world. Like, let's make sure that people understand
going
that.
For the best food.
It's for the friendship, the fun and frivolity.
Is the popcorn machine
I get
back
that.
On? That's what I'm really concerned
The popcorn
about.
Is back, yes.
Yes, my kids will be excited.
The pandemic is over.
Put their little greedy hands in there.
Nope, I don't let them touch
I'll use my strong hand.
They do have some staples that are like really, really good food.
It's you like they're eating staples.
The quesadilla burger.
Oh, I love the quesadilla
fantastic.
Burger.
It's fantastic.
The Newcastle Oaks.
The last
the Kreider's
burger.
Month,
the Kreider's burger, burger and onion rings is excellent.
Are there burgers from BPI?
I don't know what that means.
They're hand patted. Homemade. Sometimes they'll have steaks from L&K.
Yeah, that's respectable.
Dakota, you got any final thoughts for me?
I have some final thoughts. I would like to say I want to plug Audrey's business because she's going to be set up at Whitetail Tree Farm, the fall festival I was just bugging Zach about. That's this coming Saturday. Just make sure you...
Is that why Audrey called you during the show before to make sure you plugged her?
No, it was unrelated.
Okay.
Man, what else was I going to say? You derailed my train of thoughts, so now I don't know. I was going to plug something else. Oh, I was going to plug Itty Bitty Bakery in Knightstown because I stopped in there on my way home from work today. Because our friend Trisha Stewart Mann,
mm-hmm.
She put in our group chat a picture of some lemon cake. And I thought that lemon cake, I love lemon cake. It's my favorite cake. And I've been wanting it for days. And then Audrey texted me today and she was like, cake sounds really good. And I'm like, dude, I've been craving lemon cake for like a week. So I stopped in Itty Bitty Bakery because, you know, it had already taken me an hour to get to Knightstown from Greenfield anyway.
Because of the ROAS.
So I stopped in there and they had the lemon cake and it was freaking, it was so good.
Yeah.
It was delicious, dude. It was so good. Like, I don't know what they did with the icing.
Did you immediately go outside and throw it up because it screwed up your calorie count?
No, I'm all good. I'm all good.
And he's drinking two Busch Lights. And I feel like today's a cheat day.
No. Two Busch Lights and some Eagle Rare.
And a lemon cake.
This is the day. No, freaking, that lemon cake was great. It was like cream cheese icing.
That'd be pretty good.
So good. It was really good.
I do like lemon. I love lemon baked goods.
I mean, this is walking distance from Jesse's house.
Yeah, I don't go there, though. I don't like cakes and stuff.
You don't?
Mm-mm.
Their pies looked really good too.
It was like the only pie
they had. They had giant no bake cookies for 75 cents.
I do like no bake cookies.
75 cents, dude.
That's pretty awesome. But you can only eat like one.
Yeah, so rich.
So do I go in there with a debit card and be like, with like one 75 cent cookie?
No, you just pick up three quarters you have at your house.
Yeah, that's true.
He turned those into crypto a long time
ago. I sold a lot of my coins. I remember cashing coins for Cardano when Cardano was like 10 cents, and now it's like $2.30.
All right, guys. This has been fun. Thank you for joining us. Final thoughts for me. Congratulations to Brent and Michaela Davis/Smith. The Davis family is losing a member. The Smith building family is gaining a member. I'll be celebrating with them down in the Brookville area this weekend. So I'll be across the lake from Dakota. Somewhat nearby in the Quakertown SRA. First time. 5 weekends of camping left to go, Jesse. My goal is to get you to come hang out with me one night.
All right.
We'll hang out around a campfire, drink some beer.
Tell me three more times.
It'll have fun. We'll have fun. You missed out on Buffalo Trace.
You said 4 invites.
Mm-hmm.
I know. You missed out on Buffalo Trace. That was the deal of a lifetime. So. Yeah,
the next time I ask if you can come on the podcast, I'm just going to send you 4 messages right now.
Today I said perhaps. Does Zach have a final thought or did he already have one?
He did one already. I'm glad you pay attention to the show.
I'm just watching out for Zach.
We'll see you guys next week.